Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Thank you for reading that. That's awesome. That's a passage we're going to be looking at today, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 to 32, and maybe a few verses before that. Hey, great to see you today. I was thinking, you know, -3, short weather, right? It's like, you know, after the -25 kind of stuff, it's been good to see. We're middle of February. Yeah, we survived Valentine's Day, always a good thing. And today we get to look at community. And then next week, I'm going to be starting a new series called Unleashing Holy Freedom. And that'll be the series that carries us through Lent. I think it's going to be a great series and encouraging to understand who God is, to understand who we are with God. There are a number of reasons why I want to talk about being in Christian community today. I want to do this because, you know, it's one of those things that we need to be reminded of from time to time. You know, for the most part, Asbury, you do community very well. You welcome people in. I've heard from a number of people, yeah, this is a really friendly church. You encourage people to connect with each other. A number of you connect outside of church, and you phone each other up. Hey, you want to go out for coffee? And you do that, and that's just kind of the culture of a church. And I encourage you to do that. You have a way of taking care of those who are hurting, and I've seen that time after time after time. Do we have a new bike? All right. You know what this means, right? I can wave my hands, yeah. So no, all good. So you have a way of taking care of other people. I've seen that over and over again the last little while. I've witnessed that in the last year. But I've learned that you not to take good church culture for granted. I also believe that we're in a time where it's really easy to cocoon in our homes and hibernate in our places and just, you know, not see anybody. We want to be away from the world. We see a world in chaos, and we're tempted to shut it out. We're tempted to shut everyone out. I believe that you are meant to more than just survive this world. You were meant to thrive because of Jesus and his community. So this morning I want to talk about how to thrive in community. Read something fascinating about wolves this week. Scientists have discovered something remarkable. Lone wolves are a thing, and they can survive on their own. They can hunt small prey. They can find shelter. They can defend themselves. But here's the interesting thing about a lone wolf. They rarely thrive. They're more vulnerable to injury, they struggle with larger prey, and most significantly, they have shorter lives. You see, wolves aren't designed to be alone. They're pack animals, and when they're part of a pack, everything changes. They hunt more successfully, they protect each other, they raise their young together. Their pack mates, each individual wolf, is stronger, safer. I couldn't help but think, we're not wolves, but we're meant for each other. See, we live in a culture that celebrates individualism. The person who is the self-made person, that's the one we lift up and exalt. Person who doesn't need anyone. We admire independence. We respect those to say, I did it by myself. And much of our society is built on the myth of being a rugged individual. But here's what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. That's not how you were designed to live. That's an old way of that's futile. It's a darkened understanding of how the world operates. And if you have learned Christ, then you have been taught in him, you will know a different way. Paul talks about spiritual gifts, and
becoming spiritually mature. And this is what then what he says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says to this to the church that's in Ephesus, instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If you are a Christian, and by that I mean if you have received Jesus into your life by faith and you're choosing to follow him, you've given your life to him and he has put his spirit in you. If you're a Christian, then you are part of the church, part of the church universal. This spring I'll do some membership classes for Asbury. I believe in that becoming a member of the local church is a good thing, and it strengthens the church when people become members. But before you can become a member of Asbury, you must be a member of the church, the universal church. It's the church that Paul is speaking about here. He says, do you see the process? It says that Paul is outlining Paul's outlining the process in these verses. Part of what it means to be a Christian is to grow in every way to be like Christ. We are to become Christ-like. Jesus is at work in you by his Spirit. He makes you more and more like himself. Growing in every way more and more like Christ is what it says. But you will notice that it is not like we are individual silos that are growing independent of each other. It's more like we're growing as pieces of the puzzle. Verse 16, he says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And God is growing you, and he's growing the people around you. And as he grows, he gives you the special work to do. You are given spiritual gifts, wisdom, knowledge, serving, leading, administrating. With these gifts, you are given your own special work. And notice what your work does. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. That's the outcome that we're looking for, a body that is healthy, growing, and full of love. I don't know if you caught that, but you need me and I need you to be healthy. If we want to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, and really the kind of people that we want to be healthy and growing and full of love. That's only going to happen as we are with each other. We're members of one another, interconnected, independent, or interdependent, I should say, essential to each other's well-being. Like parts of the body, we function together. Now, over the last 50 years or so, the church has given different messages that in and of themselves are true. But when they get combined, they can lead to something that's not true. The first message was that you need to have a personal relationship with Christ. And that is so true. You are not a Christian because your grandparents or your parents were Christians. You're not a Christian because you come to church. You are a Christian because, as an individual, you've received Jesus into your life and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I come into my life. I'm choosing to follow you. So you need to have a personal relationship with Christ. The church can't cultivate it for you. You need to be in prayer and in God's word and listening to his Spirit for yourself. You need that personal relationship with Jesus. Second message that was given over the last while was that the gospel has a way of speaking into our deepest needs. And that is so true. Now, the church got a little sidetracked when it started with a therapeutic gospel, but I have noticed over the course of my ministry that the better I did discipleship, the less counseling I had. Now, don't hear me to say that counseling is bad. I'm married to a counselor, and so yeah, if I was to say that, I get it when I get home. Yeah, no, that's not the way it goes. But as you walk deeper with Christ, it has a way of speaking into your deepest needs. And there are times when we all need help going around life's tight corners. But many of our internal struggles are helped as we learn to follow Jesus well. So we need a personal relationship with Jesus, combined with we're working out our personal struggles with Jesus. There was a third message that the church gave, and again, it's true. You were designed to experience God. You were designed to see God show up in different ways in your life. You were designed to experience Him in prayer. You were designed to experience Him in worship. And it's true. There are times when you will encounter God personally. And it's a wonderful thing. And you look for God and look for encounters with Him. That is a great thing. And so that's really true. But you put all these things together that are true, and as you come out the other side, you may put it together in a way that's untrue. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. The gospel does speak into the deepest needs of your heart. You are meant to experience God. These things are true, but if you put them together with nothing else, what happens? Your faith becomes self-focused. It's all about me. When I was growing up, there was a song going around that had a catchy tune, but was really, really bad theology. Forgive my singing. Me and Jesus, it was a country song, by the way, has our own thing going. Me and Jesus has it all worked out. Me and Jesus has our own thing going, and ain't nobody going to tell us what it's all about. Yeah, that deserves applause. Come on, guys. You know, the theology is worse than the grammar of that song, and that's saying something, right? It's almost the direct opposite of what Paul is saying. It's not just about me and Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body. It's about the body of the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Here's what you need to know about the gospel. The most significant evidence that this transformation has taken place in your life will be seen in how you treat other people. It's not all about your experiences. The most significant evidence that the gospel has taken root in your life is how you treat other people. So let me walk you through this passage, verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and learn the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. When you become a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus and your sins are forgiven, God puts his Holy Spirit inside of your spirit. At the core of who you are, you become a new creation. The Bible thinks old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God's Spirit is infused in your spirit so that it's kind of like an iron in a fire, like the iron is in the fire and the fire is in the iron, but the fire is not the iron and the iron is not the fire. It's fused together, God's Spirit and your spirit. Or to put it a different way, our Heavenly Father has put his spiritual DNA at the core of who we are. At the core of who you are wired to love what God loves. You're created to reflect his character, holiness, righteousness, goodness, kindness, peace, love. At the core of who you are this new creation. But you and I, we also have a soul. Now, your soul is your mind, and your will, and your emotions. You made a smart choice to receive Jesus Christ into your life. But when you did that, you didn't get a higher IQ. You know, you may have had an emotional experience or not when you received Jesus into your life. But just because you became a Christian doesn't mean, doesn't release you from the emotional triggers that have accumulated from your past. Our souls have been corrupted by the ways of this world, deceitful patterns, ungodly attitudes. The Bible calls that your sinful nature. It's been corrupted by lust and deception. Paul says, put off or throw off or take off the old nature. And the way it does that, it says to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll know what is good and pleasing and acceptable and God's will. You have an old nature, but by having your mind renewed, changed from the way the world thinks about things to the way God thinks about things, then you're putting on the new nature. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes is what verse 23 is saying there. Allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to speak into the core of who you are, to tell you, yeah, this is how God sees the world. This is how the world truly is. And as you put on this new nature, the idea is like putting on a coat or dressing yourself. You're created to be like God, or as we talked about earlier, you're created to be Christ-like, where you're truly showing God's nature, righteousness, holiness. You are letting the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes, and you have this new nature inside of you. God's Spirit is in you, and God's Spirit is pushing out from your spirit into your soul so that your thoughts and your mind, your soul is being transformed into the likeness of Christ. That's the transformation process, but here is how it shows up. Paul says, verse 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. But he goes on to verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. We're all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. And then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, being kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. The biggest evidence that you have put off the old self and taken on your new self, the biggest evidence of being transformed by God, the biggest evidence that the gospel has taken hold of our lives is that the way you treat other people. Here's what the culture of the church is meant to be. Don't tell lies. Tell the truth. Don't let anger control you. Don't harbor anger for long. Don't steal. Be generous. Don't use foul language. Don't use abusive language. Let everything you say be good. Let what you say be helpful. Use words that are encouraging. Don't bring God's sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, any type of evil behavior. Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted or open-hearted to each other. Forgive one another, for you are forgiven. The reason why Paul has to give us a list like this is that you and I, all of us, we have rough edges. Sometimes when you are in relationship with each other, it can be challenging. Sometimes people say really stupid things. Sometimes people's judgment is wrong. Sometimes people don't treat you as loving as they should. And we get together in community and God's fitting us together, but if you have some rough edges, then there's going to be this challenging of fitting together. And so that's why we're not to harbor anger. We're supposed to build up. We need to get rid of bitterness. We need to be tenderhearted and forgive. Instead of me walking you through the list, so let me sum it up, the list, the way Paul does. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Paul sums the whole thing up. How do you live with each other? Imitate God in everything you do. If you're imitating God, goodness and kindness will be a real thing. God's faithfulness and justice and holiness will be part of the way that you move through this world. Paul says, live a life of love following God's example. He loved us and he sacrificed himself for us. So live a life of love. Someone once said, you can tell how much a person loves the artist by how they treat his masterpiece. Imagine a master artist who had created a massively beautiful mosaic. But over time, well, the pieces pried loose and it was splattered with mud and some of the pieces were scattered. That's what sin did to us. It isolated us, it pried us loose from community, turned us into lone wolves trying to survive, eke out an existence. But when the gospel takes a hold of our life, God picks up you. Picks up your piece, and he cleans it off, and he polishes your edges. He starts to renew your mind. He doesn't put you on the shelf by yourself. He puts you back into the wall of this beautiful picture that he's creating, right next to other people. And you rub shoulders with these other people. Sometimes the rough edges are still being polished and they'll scratch you, and sometimes your history clashes with theirs. That's why Paul's list in Ephesians is so specific. He knows that the test of our nature is not found in a vacuum. It's being found in how we're fit together. The most significant evidence that you have learned Christ isn't your attendance at church, isn't how you look on Sunday. It's your capacity to forgive, your choice to love others even though they said some stuff that's not good. It's your decision to be kind even when your old nature screams that you do something else. We choose to become tender-hearted instead of bitter. And we're not just being nice. We're showing that Jesus is powerful enough to take a room full of different people, flawed people, and turn them into a community that has a way of reflecting him. Like I said at the beginning, I see some wonderful evidence that Asbury is being fitted together in some amazing ways. But I don't take that for granted. I see so many good things here. But I don't take that for granted. So I need to ask you the question. If you were to rate your spiritual life on the basis of how you treat your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, what mark would you give yourself? Is there a place that God is calling you to work on? Are there individuals who you could reach out to this week and and be a reflection of God to them. See, the true measure of a church isn't how great the sermons are, not how great the worship is, but does the church, culture of the church, move people towards Jesus? My hope and prayer for Asbury is that we would imitate God, therefore, in everything that we do, because we're his dearly loved children. That we would live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So this is your role, verse 16. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. When you're doing what you're doing, and I'm doing what I'm doing, together we're going to help each other grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's my prayer for us. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that is healthy and growing and full of love. Lord, for those here who, as I've been talking, think, oh, yeah, I've got a low mark in this particular area. Lord, would you show them how to reach out or how to deal with what's going on the inside and how it's deal with what's going on in relationships so that, oh Lord, that we would walk with each other well and walk with you well. Lord, I want to give thanks for this church. I see so many good things happening. So Lord, help us to continue to walk with you and each other well. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.